Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is January the 28th. I'm Garrett. That's Wade.
Hello.
And that's Brad.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. I'm still kind of laughing on the inside from your your pre-show comment.
Things happen.
One of these days we'll have to record what we talk about before the show for the show.
If we ever published the green room, we'd be, explicit tag doesn't cover it.
That's correct, but it would be worthwhile doing.
Absolutely. The blooper reel.
That's right. Well, blooper reels are great. It's not quite the same thing, but sure. Anything fun and exciting we need to share?
Right. Actually, no. It was kind of a quiet weekend on our front.
Fantastic.
Same old, same old. It was, yeah. Sometimes they're nice.
That's very true, actually. Wade, you?
Kind of the same on my front. It's just very relaxed this time.
Clearly, we live the life of extravagance over here.
Yes.
And
it is thrilling and exciting, and we do nothing. You should join us.
I'll have to take you up on that. I, unfortunately, did not have that luxury. Daughter and I had taekwondo testing Saturday morning, which was fun.
How'd that go?
You know, it goes really well. I've kind of held her to a little bit higher standard than the studio does because the studio is really lax with everybody.
Sure. Because
a lot of parents complain that, you know, the instructors are being too tough on little Johnny and whatever. But I hold her to a little more, you know, diligence and crispness and, you know, perfection closer to anyway.
You brought your child in to learn a martial arts, but don't want him to be disciplined.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's supposed to be friendly, not violent. Jeez.
Well, there's a difference. Well, it's not that it's violent. It's just that, you know, when I did it growing up, it was a lot of emphasis on the respect and the, you know, sirs, ma'ams. If you were a black belt, you were therefore addressed by Mr. or Mrs. last name. It was not casual. It was formal. And that's just how you acted when you were there. And now it's, you know, with the change of the times or with, you know, parents being so overprotective, it's lost a lot of that.
Sure.
Which is depressing. But my daughter, even, you know, even other people commented that she looked better than people that were higher ranked than her. And that should make her feel good. It definitely makes me feel good to show that, you know, she, a younger kid, you know, lower rank, can look just as good, if not better, than higher ranked people.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of conducted a little bit of a test this time because for Christmas we got heavier weight uniforms that when you move they kind of pop a little bit because there's more material moving around. It's not just like a t-shirt material. And so I went last. They had me go last for my testing, and I employed everything that I have learned from previous stuff and what I know now, and did everything with a lot of power, with a lot of, you know, gusto, so to speak. And I heard people on the sides commenting like, whoa, or he's good, or just different things like that. And it's like, I'm not doing anything any other student there could be doing. You know, I'm doing the same moves they learned. I'm doing the same form, whatever. It's just that I'm not just putting my hand out to do a punch. I'm punching, you know. I'm
sure,
yeah, I'm hitting the air, but the move and the motion and the power is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was Saturday morning. Saturday all day, the rest of the day we had some people come over and give us quotes for windows here at the house. Saturday we worked on the closet area under the stairs that we're building out. We're working on framing and drywalling that. Sunday we did the grout in our laundry room, so that's pretty much done. Wade is going to seal the grout this week so that we can finally get a washer dryer this weekend and stop going to the laundromat.
Woohoo!
So that's the fun and exciting life there. Aren't you jealous?
Jealous of going to the laundromat? I don't think they are.
Pretty sure they're glad they don't have to. But yeah, aside from that, not a lot of fun and excitement. But that comes with the territory. As you well know, being a homeowner, there's just always something to do.
Always. So, never ending.
That's that.
She's got the list when he comes home.
So you were gone for a week. Here's what you missed.
Toilet's backed up.
Heaters. Here's on what the you Fritz missed again. Last time on
on the honey repair list.
No, actually, I don't usually come home to that big of a list.
No, your wife's pretty handy.
Yeah, she is. She's good at keeping stuff up while I'm gone. So.
Yep. Anything on the horizon people need to be aware of or look forward to, Wade?
Super Bowl. And then the Super day after Bowl. That.
Yes, so we have Super Bowl weekend and then Wade's birthday on Monday. Yep. And then our father will be back in town Tuesday to retrieve his horde of animals that were animal sitting. So that's a thing. So next Wednesday should be a fairly quiet day for us. We'll have roughly half the animals that we have now. Let's see, for me this weekend, yeah, I mean, trying to pick up a washer dryer is high priority for Saturday, and then Sunday Super Bowl, go Seahawks. If you're a New England fan, you're entitled to your wrong opinion, and that's fine.
That's right.
So, Wade, what's your channel got going on?
Well, after a technical issue, not on my side, actually, the company side, I will be working on kind of hopefully a long-running series. Do have beta access for Heroes of the Storm from Blizzard. They're free-to-play MOBA. I'm thinking about doing SCP Containment Breach. And
SCP is what?
It's basically an internet horror story where this large foundation contains people, but things and entities that have unique properties.
So it's like a Warehouse 13 horrors.
Some of them are horror, like the Plague Doctor who will turn you into a zombie.
Sure.
And then there's the Infinite Pizza Box.
Yep. Okay.
So,
yay.
Yeah, guess which one you actually have to deal with in that game?
The pizza?
Yeah, I wish. No, there was a time where people will know who these are. 106 was behind me and the Plague Doctor was in front of me. I mean, this is the only game that has made me whimper because of it's like, oh God, he's there.
Oh, don't lie.
And he's behind me.
Minesweeper used to do it too.
Oh God. What? It's like one mine.
So SCPs essentially are user-created concepts. I mean, these aren't plucked from like lore and legend, right? They're kind of just...
They could be. I mean, there's over 4,000 of these damn things.
Okay.
So I haven't read them all.
Sure. So a potential long-running pseudo-horror series based on SCP...
No. The Heroes of the Storm should be a
potential long-running. Yeah. Okay. And then also maybe the SCP Unleashed.
I'm going to try to do the good version or the good ending for that, and that's going to be difficult.
And then the main channel...
But our listeners and viewers are worth it.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
on the main channel, we got a lot of Far Cry 4 still, and that's going to be a thing until we run out. And then after that, I have Assassin's Creed Unity, which we will be taking up the slack once Far Cry 4 is kind of on the tail end. So that's probably a long ways out, though. So if you're enjoying it, let us know. If you're not enjoying it, really let us know. Yep.
We're putting myself through a lot of pain, torment, and horror for your entertainment.
There you go. Brad, anything on your horizon you need to share?
Not at the moment.
Fantastic. Let's get into some movies.
Movies.
I almost couldn't find the sound clip there, but I found it.
Almost kind of heard the new movies.
Movies. So we have four movies coming out this week. Number one, Project Almanac. This, kind of interesting, actually. This morning it was not rated on Rotten Tomatoes. And when I went back through later in the day to draft up my notes, it is rated at 80%. So... good things
not
there.
Not bad.
It's rated PG-13, and the synopsis is kind of vague, and maybe I can fill in some stuff based on what I think I saw in the trailer. But the synopsis is that a brilliant high school student and his friends uncover blueprints for a mysterious device with limitless potential, inadvertently putting lives in danger. Pretty vague.
Yeah.
What it looked in the trailer is that the device is a time machine, and they go back in time. And I think that there was a scene that one of the kids sees himself. You know, like the whole quantum physics no-no of you don't interact with yourself in a different time zone.
You're not in the same place at the same time.
They do that, and something goes awry.
Space and time collapses in on itself.
Something like that. But again, that's just speculation from the trailers. Again, PG-13, so for the most part, safe for many, many ages. My daughter sees PG-13 movies, and she's 8, so...
Call lots of the Rotten Tomato guys. Like, we got to get this percentage up because the abundance of night guys are doing.
That's right.
That's right.
Hey, guys, we got our podcast tonight, and your movie doesn't have a rating. So can you help me out with that? Thanks. Okay, so that's that one. The second movie is called The Loft. This does not have a critic rating yet, so they did not reply to my email on that one. It is rated R. This starring James Marsden, who played Cyclops in the X-Men movies, along with a bunch of other stuff. He was in... Enchanted, he played the prince, for those who like the more childish movies. He was also in Two Guns, he played the Navy officer guy.
The commanding officer.
Yes.
Navy. Okay.
Also...
Stark contrast, by the way. That's a very wide gap from, like, Enchanted to, like, Navy officer.
Yeah. But also, co-starring is Carl Urban. If you're not familiar with that name, he played Bones, or is playing Bones in the new Star Trek movies. He was Judge Dredd. He's also in the Riddick movies. So he's been around. I really like him playing Bones is great. He's got a great delivery.
Anyway,
what?
I said, yes, he does.
Yeah. He's actually pretty perfect.
He's really good. Yeah.
Like hideous. I'm like, what?
Yeah. So, this one's kind of strange actually. Five guys who conspire to secretly share a penthouse loft in the city. I don't really say what city. A place where they can indulge in their deepest fantasies, but the fantasy becomes a nightmare when they discover a dead body of an unknown woman in the loft, and they realize one of the group must have been involved. Paranoia sets in as they all start accusing each other of foul play.
I was about to think, how do you secretly take a fifth part of a loft? It's like, not like...
They don't secretly from each other, but... Maybe it's under somebody else's name and the five guys.
Kind of sounds like, what was that? What was that one movie where the guys, like, they get, like, roofied?
Hangover?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like a pseudo Hangover.
Sounds like a lot more involved, more of a thriller. It is rated R, so I'm sure there'll be some violence and definite language in that one. Let's see. Number 3 in this week's list is Black or White. This is rated at 38%, which I'm actually kind of surprised at. That sounds really low. PG-13, this is Kevin Costner. They're saying one of his best roles up to date. But, I mean, they say that pretty much every movie that someone comes out in. So, it's, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
Well, they kind of have to, don't they? I mean, how bad would it be new in his worst role ever?
It is true. I mean... That's why they don't say worst, they just don't say best.
That's right. But again, I mean, it's kind of like Apple making an announcement. Yeah, so this is not the best iPhone we've ever made, but hopefully you'll buy it anyway.
It's the one we're selling right now.
Right.
It's an Academy Award nominee.
Yeah.
First loser. Sorry. Anyway, the movie is the grandfather who suddenly is left to take care of his beloved granddaughter. When her paternal grandmother seeks custody with the help of her brother, the little girl is torn between two families who deeply love her, and with the best intentions at heart, both families fight for what they feel is right and are soon forced to confront their true feelings about race, forgiveness, and understanding. So, based on, again, the trailer that I've seen, it appears that... Kevin Costner's daughter marries a black guy, but his perception is that he was kind of a degenerate. I don't know if they'll go more into that in the movie. I would imagine they were. But for some reason, they're gone. I don't know if they get hit by a car or whatever.
Car crash.
You know, parents are gone. Grandfather's taken care of the granddaughter. And grandmother on the other side decides she wants a piece of that action. Sounds wrong saying it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it really does.
But it's kind of funny, actually.
Was it Ashley, how far are we here? Because I remember seeing a certain post, but I want to make sure we're good with movies before we go to it.
Well, I still got to do one more movie and the box office.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So number four is a movie called Wild Card, rated at 20%. It is rated R. Not surprising when you figure Jason Statham is headlining it. Also in the movie is Sofia Vergara and Stanley Tucci. This is a remake of a Burt Reynolds action thriller. Statham is a paid enforcer who goes after a gang leader when a group of thugs beat up a personal friend. He's kind of pigeonholed himself into these, you know, transporter and, you know, kind of these
action
one
hero,
man against
yeah.
everybody type movies. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see him in the new Fast and Furious movie, though, because he plays the bad guy in that. Not spoiler alert. Okay, so in the box office this week, we have American Sniper. I'm going to yawn. Well, that's interesting.
Wow.
My apologies. No, I'm not drunk.
American Sniper.
American Sniper pulls in $64.6 million on top of their previous earnings. The Boy Next Door, that's the Jennifer Lopez movie, pulls in $14.9 million. Paddington the Bear pulls in 12.3 and The Wedding Ringer at 11.3. Surprisingly, that the movie with Johnny Depp we talked about last week, Mordecai, it only pulled in like 4 million.
I hear that wasn't actually
do well.
Too good.
Yeah, which is surprising because he's got a strong following. But many of the movies that we mentioned last week, though, did not even get into the top 10 in the box office. So that's sad. On a side note, American Sniper, I did not see it, but a coworker did tell me that at first he didn't realize anything, he just sensed something was off, and then he realized partway leaving the theater that, you know, when you leave a theater and everyone's talking about what they saw and in the chatter ensues and it gets a little loud compared to when watching the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
He said that it was dead silent. After the movie, the credits are rolling, people are leaving, and it's dead silent. And that says something for the movie and the message or the naivety of people, you know, not realizing how something like this movie can affect others, that message and that emotional weight that it can carry. And I think that's what he was alluding to, that he wasn't necessarily super impressed with it because he can be kind of a cynic. But he said he was pretty blown away at the fact that how quiet it was leaving the theater.
Some other country people are saying this is more of a propaganda movie.
It's an American soldier for the American public. If it's not some degree of propaganda, I don't know what is.
Well, that's just
you're going to embellish the truth to benefit your side if there's any sort of gray area. So, whatever.
Embellish the truth in a movie?
I know that never happens, right?
Yeah, not
when it ain't so.
They're so historically accurate. On so many points.
Not when Scarlett Johansson transforms into a computer.
Spoiler alert.
Jeez.
That's in that one movie with her that she's in that didn't
thing
do
happens.
That great, actually. I was not impressed by that movie.
Anyway,
we are done with movies and we are jumping on to news unless Wade has a movie-related post he wants to share.
Who plays Jamie Lannister?
That would be Sir Coldwater.
Because this brings me up as the tight cast. You know he played...
Typecast.
No, I know, but okay. Typecast.
Okay.
So
Nikolai Caldwalder.
Yes. They asked, what role do you play in Game of Thrones? He's like, I play the father and the uncle. And he's also played in Mama.
Yep.
He's like, what
role? He played himself as a twin, where he played the father of the girls and then their uncle later on in the movie. It's actually really funny. Side note, movie news before we get to news. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but Game of Thrones had partnered up with IMAX in select locations to release 2 season 4 episodes in IMAX, followed by a season 5 teaser. teaser trailer.
My guess is it sold out.
Well, it goes available to the public this, I think it's this week, this or next week. But it wasn't, I think it might be next week, actually. But the Double Ds, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff, who are the producers and creators of the show, were blown away by the conversion process, because it's not an easy process.
Oh, yeah.
That they did to the show, both visually and obviously the audio experience you get to have in an IMAX theater. They said it's such a more immersive experience that it they were really surprised by it. In partnership with them saying, look, when we edit and work on these, we see each episode hundreds of times. We have to go through every aspect frame by frame. And to be impressed by the scale and seeing it and being immersed in it in that way was truly something to be seen. So if you're a Game of Thrones fan out there and you're curious about what it is in IMAX, the creators were impressed. What does that say about you?
Secondly, what does that say of the series in itself?
Tanya, they should be releasing every episode in IMAX. I'd pay for it.
Have you seen anything on an IMAX screen?
Yes.
I have, yes.
Yeah. It's an amazing format. Floor to
ceiling, crazy. I saw Avatar in IMAX. I saw Alice in Wonderland in IMAX.
It's amazing what IMAX can do to a mediocre movie.
Yeah.
I saw...
I know you were talking about Avatar there, too.
I saw Batman, but the one with the Joker in IMAX.
Yeah, so the second one.
Yeah.
Second one?
Yeah, second one, because the first one was a Scarecrow.
First one, Scarecrow.
Second one was Joker, and the third one was Bane. The third one was
Bane, yeah. That's right. Okay. All right, on to news.
Do you guys remember several months ago we covered a article where Marriott Hotels in Nashville, Tennessee, at the, I believe it was the Opryland Theater, had set up a personal hotspot blocking so that you had to buy Wi-Fi through the hotel at an exorbitant rate.
Yes.
You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we covered that. That made news. Customers complained to the FCC. The FCC came down hard on them and said, you can't do that. Fined Marriott $600,000. This is back in October.
Yep.
Marriott paid the fine. However, they also filed a petition for rulemaking from the FCC. Let me read it here. Sorry. Had a little glitch here. Sorry about that. they have requested that they be allowed to continue to block Wi-Fi's. Their reasoning is for security reasons, that they are able to prevent unauthorized Wi-Fi broadcasts that may jeopardize the security and ambiguity and all kinds of weird stuff. So the FCC ruled on it this week, and that's why we're bringing it back up and it's back in the news. And the FCC simply said, persons or businesses causing intentional interference to Wi-Fi hotspots are subject to enforcement action.
Nice.
The Enforcement Bureau has seen a disturbing trend in which hotels and other commercial establishments block wireless consumers from using their own personal Wi-Fi hotspots on the commercial establishment's premises. As a result, the Bureau is protecting customers by aggressively investigating and acting against unlawful intentional interference.
That's awesome. There is no gray area in that statement whatsoever.
Don't do it. If you do it, we will catch you and we will hurt you.
Financially.
Break his legs.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And they came out and specifically called out, no hotel, convention center, blah, 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 may intentionally block or disrupt personal Wi-Fi. Such action is illegal, and violations could lead to the assessment of substantial monetary penalties.
Nice. We're not just going to fine you. We're going to fine you big time.
Yes. So, which makes sense. You know, Wi-Fi is conducted over an unlicensed band. Nobody gets to own the spectrum that Wi-Fi is on. So,
except Wi-Fi itself, so to speak.
Well, but Wi-Fi
no other frequencies can infringe on the Wi-Fi standard. Band, but nobody, yeah.
They're a standard that uses it. They don't own it.
Correct. That's what I was getting at, is that no other radio wave or whatever can come into the Wi-Fi band legally.
Sure it can.
It's all very scientific and whatever, and Brad knows everything I'm talking about. But no one entity gets to say, correct, no, this area and the air is ours.
Yep.
Now, what security, I think I use that in air quotes, hazards were they trying to emphasize? Like, how would that...
the ability to make more money?
No, there is... a pseudo-legitimate case here, and that is, if the hotel has Wi-Fi and it's broadcasting, you know, let's say it's Marriott _ guest, well, I can come in and set up my own hotspot with the same ID and essentially become a man in the middle and capture everything that passes over my hotspot.
Nice.
It's called a rogue access point. However, that being said, there are already tools in place in enterprise-grade Wi-Fi systems, not your little, you know, Linksys box that you set at home, but in the big Cisco, you know, or Aruba, the major vendor enterprise-class Wi-Fi access points. There are already tools that let you detect rogue access points and isolate them. You don't need to block Wi-Fi on a broadband scale. You can identify it when it happens.
Nice.
So anybody coming into a hotel and deliberately setting up a malicious access point can still be found without...
too much of a hassle?
Yeah, without impinging on the rights of everybody else.
Yeah, so if they really were acting on... If they really wanted to sit there and say, we don't want to allow people's Wi-Fi because of our own security, it's a BS statement, because they have the ability to protect themselves without limiting everybody.
Exactly. And if they don't have that ability, then they really don't know what they're doing, and they should hire new IT people.
Nice.
All right, then.
Yep.
Well, continuing on with our fun times... Assassin's Creed. Garrett? Mm. Yes.
Hello.
Wow, apparently Bradley too.
Yes.
All right.
Bradley, though, is a latecomer to the Assassin's Creed franchise. I, however, am OG.
All right, whatever, Pitbull.
Old and grumpy?
That's right.
Get off my game.
It's my game. You get your cotton pick hands off of it. No?
Anywho.
Yes.
Okay.
Rumor has it that they may be going towards the one era that people have been waiting for the most. On the Assassin's Creed forums, a user...
Forums or forums?
Forums. On the internets.
On the interwebs.
Them darn interwebs.
Purchased an art book containing multiple pictures of landscapes and historical monuments within the Assassin's Creed franchise. In these pictures came up one of, let's see if I have it here, a temple in Japan, the Shingshongi Temple. I probably said that wrong, I am sorry. There has been speculation that this could be the Beijing's Forbidden City, but there is a side-by-side comparison of the picture from the art book and the actual temple itself, and it looks, well, pretty spot on. So, judging from this art book that was published in November... that we may be going to Japan. And you're a ninja.
Well, you're already kind of a ninja, but now you're just an official ninja.
Legitimized ninja. You have your certificate of ninjadom.
You're not just a ninja, you're a ninja.
Authenticity.
hand numbered. My one question with this, and this will be interesting. I would be excited to see that. I like Assassin's Creed. You're right. I am late to the franchise, but it's a fun game to play. I would be interested in seeing this. It makes me wonder, though, how legitimate it is. I know there's rumors all the time about, you know, leaked Apple products. Well, Apple's making all kinds of stuff all the time in the lab that never sees the light of day, you know?
Plenty of companies are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. R&D.
So, you know, was this just a, you know, hey, we drew up some concept art for this, we tried it, and maybe there's a game, maybe there's not. I don't know. It keeps the rumor mill going, that's for sure.
Well, the thing does.
I guess my biggest issue, and one of the things that I really loved with Assassin's Creed that unfortunately they lost, or it faded away in the franchise, was the ancestral connection that you got to associate with the main character of the first few games, Desmond Miles. And so you had all these different ancestral characters. You had Ezio, you had Altair, you had
Connor.
Connor, yeah, from the Assassin's Creed, what was that, 4? The Jack Revolutionary Calloway. War, whatever. And I was always curious as to how they were going to tie all these different characters. Were they ever going to really make a... Obviously, you knew there was ancestral because the whole point of the Animus was a DNA memory, whatever.
Activator.
Yeah. And so you had all these different deals and all these different races, and I was kind of curious to see if they ever were going to kind of funnel down some of that. And obviously, if they're now transitioning from Native American to pirate to pseudo-Japan or, you know, China as a ninja, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big nationality jump, and clearly they've kind of abandoned the DNA aspect, especially, spoiler alert, Desmond's been dead for a game or two.
Well, wait, have, what?
Sorry.
They have had, what, Arabian? Arab, whatever.
Well, he was Middle Eastern, Jerusalem, whatever.
I guess there's both. There's Italian.
Ezio was Italian.
And now you had French.
You French with the Revolutionary War. And I haven't played the new one. I'm sorry, the new one is Unity. The one that I have is Rogue because I don't have a PS4 I mentioned earlier.
That's...
But yeah, Unity is French. Then you had Connor, Native American. You had the pirate. So, you know, that's Caribbean.
Asian.
Yeah, so, you know.
This guy is like...
Talk about a melting pot.
And he's like a diverse person.
He gets around.
But the
So, I mean, I was really bummed when they kind of put that to side.
They kind of realized that, guys, we can't do this. There is no way they would ever...
Yeah. We cannot tie this together. And I was really kind of bummed because
I was really curious as to how the modern-day Templar versus the modern-day assassin... crew that was left over were going to kind of collide, and it never really happened, so it was kind of a downer.
Did you notice though that back in like the first game everyone was complaining about how bland Desmond was?
Yeah,
it's like that was actually on purpose so they could characterize him through those games.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, wow, we kind of fell into that trap perfectly. but yeah, I mean, like, how far or how many more races can they go through, though?
Well, because they've kind of done off with Desmond, now they can just associate, okay, well, instead of subject XYZ's DNA material we're accessing, we're looking at subject, you know, ST, you know, STU or whatever. They can come up with different subject numbers and access that, and that's just going to be their simple script term to rationalize, okay, well, now we're in Japan, or now we're in Australia, or now we're in China, or now we're in whatever, and that's just what they'll do.
You see what I mean is, how many more races do they have to go through? I mean, they're rumored going through Japan, I think, but like the only one I can think is China's last.
They could do a
think of anyone else.
African. They can do they can do something there. They could do an Eskimo thing if they really wanted to, or even Russian. You could, I mean, take any culture and you could probably apply some sort of rationale.
Assassin's Creed just running in the freaking Arctic snow. What are you parkouring on, glaciers?
Maybe. Yeah.
Slip on one thing because you don't have the quick time event
polar bears behind you or something? I don't know.
I think though,
unless I missed it,
God. Which is entirely possible. In Black Flag, I mean, wasn't the point of it that you were no longer directly connected? I mean, spoiler alert, you were working for a game company, and they were extracting the memories from some salvaged DNA.
Yeah, and I don't remember in Black Flag if they made any associations to Desmond. I mean, I'm sure there's fans out there that know that Desmond had a subject ID number of something, and I don't know if that's carried through into Black Flag. I do know that the modern day premise of Black Flag was vastly different than the previous games, like you said.
Right, exactly. But my point was that the character that you're playing in the real world in game has no connection at all. You're just accessing DNA memory. Well, if they've perfected that, then in theory you could reprise that same character in game in real world and just access somebody else's DNA memory. And in this case, instead of going back to Desmond's line, you could just go to somebody else's.
Of course. And I'm not discrediting that. All I'm saying is that I was most looking forward to the
culmination of how
the culmination with Desmond and the climax of Desmond's character.
Sure.
And how everything kind of funneled in. And that's just kind of ended. And I still love the gameplay. I still think it's one of the best, just super entertaining as far as the general gameplay goes. But that little sub-story for Desmond was, I was really, really curious about, and it just kind of faded away.
They've lost that love and feeling.
That's right.
Wow. All right.
Brad, you talked earlier, mentioned casually Apple and how leaking products and whatnot. Well, they're big into the news this week. First of all, with the sales report for the last 3 months of 2014, if there's any subtle way to put this, the iPhone 6 sold a 46% increase than the year prior for the same period. 46%.
That is huge.
That's 23.5 million units more than prior, for a total of 74.5 million units.
And I believe everybody gets to take a drink. Down.
No, that's in the millions.
No. I understand that, but they also announced their profits this week.
Okay, if you have that figured, great. I do not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was part of your. My bad. Hold on. I just have
quantities. The last 3 months, though, of the year have historically been Apple's bread and butter. Ever since 2011. Sorry, the record-breaking quarterly sales. Let's see here. Obviously, what did I freaking write here? Record-breaking quarterly sales. I don't even know what I'm talking about here. What I was trying to do is make a funny little joke about the iPhone 6 not only being their biggest phone, but their biggest phone in sales.
Sure.
Back to school,
but
please.
I see how well that worked out for
me.
Freaking, I quit.
Well
Rage
done.
Quit. I'm done.
Fell flat on your face. Okay.
Flat.
Company
flat
posted
on my face.
Record quarterly revenue. Okay.
Grab your shot glasses.
Get your shot glasses ready because we've got a couple here. So.
Several, apparently. You need several shot glasses.
Yes.
Or a big bottle.
Financial results for fiscal quarter, first quarter 2015. Revenue of $74.6 billion. With a record quarterly net profit, here you go, okay, hold on to your seats. This is profit. This is pure over-the-top, we can go out and buy whatever the heck we want to money. $18 billion.
Tesla's for everybody.
Sure, why not?
I was actually thinking the same thing, really. I was like, that's a couple Teslas, really?
Yep.
Yeah, so nice. $18 billion, which compares to quarter one of last year, of $13.1 billion in profit.
$5 billion more this year than the year prior for that quarter.
Yeah.
For a quarter.
Quarter. That's just months. A quarter. That's 3 months.
It's not the year. They made $18 billion in 3 months.
Yes.
You know what? I've decided we need to do this. We need to come up with show notes that use the B word as much as possible and physically drink.
Lots and lots of billions.
Lots and lots of billions. Additionally, in Apple News this week, they have announced a release date, or rather month, for the Apple Watch. We have decided and realized it's not called the iWatch because Swatch owns the iWatch label. So sadly, we cannot and can't make any money off people using it. According to Tim Cook, who, for those who don't know, is Apple's CEO, it said they are looking to start shipping the Apple Watch in April of this year. This has been the first definitive date. Previously stated early 2015 was all that we had to go on. Now, that it is going to be available in three different styles, including an 18-karat gold option. The unit will connect to iPhones. They will start at $349, with the gold version estimated at $5,000, but has not been substantiated yet.
I'm going to say, based on some sources that I have, that that's extremely low. The gold one is going to be higher.
Do you have a figure, or can you get one real quick, on what the gold iPhone was going for? I mean, I don't have the, they had one with diamonds and stuff, but they had just a gold one that was legitimate gold, not their paint gold.
I don't remember that one.
It may have been a third party. It may not have been an Apple endorsed. But a gold
fact checkers are checking. Please stand by.
Where are those interns anyway?
You know, they went back to school and we fired them.
We had to give them one day off. They were complaining about terrible work schedules and
blah, blah,
unfit
blah.
Hours, you know.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Red is searching. I mean,
iPhone gold, luxury gold iPhone 6.
Yes.
Is $4,271.
Okay.
With free shipping, now, thankfully.
The Apple Watch is only $349 retail versus the phone, which is, what, $600, $700 retail?
Yeah.
So that $5,000 price is not that far off, really. If anything, it's high.
No.
Doing a ratio from retail phone to retail gold phone, retail watch to retail gold watch should be lower if you're doing a direct correlation. But that's logic talking, and
yeah, it'd be interesting to see. The thing is, they're going to have to do some kind of trade-in program, you know, because even the most diehard Apple fans with lots of money to spend, or even watch collectors, I don't see paying that for a watch, you know. I don't have that kind of money anyway, but let's assume for a moment I do.
Mm-hmm.
I could see paying $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 for a solid gold watch made by, you know, one of the big watchmakers. Let's say Rolex.
Sure.
Just to throw out a name.
Yep.
Because that watch is going to work forever. Rolex is known for their quality. And when I die, my two kids are going to get to fight over who gets dad's watch. Yes. And when my son dies, his kids are going to get to fight over who has grandpa's watch.
Correct.
See what's happening here? He's very vindictive towards his offspring.
But you'll remember me. You'll be fighting over my
you'll
stuff.
Be, you'll want for it. Generations. You will want it. Precious.
My precious.
But this is going to be an electronic gadget. Why would I want to spend $5,000 or $10,000 or even $2,000 on a watch that in 6 months is going to be obsolete? My kids won't want this.
Yeah.
You know?
And for all intents and purposes, you're almost buying a watch band and inserting the electronics into it. I mean, more or less, yeah, it's kind of what you're looking at. And like you said, people don't spend $10,000 on a watch band. unless it's diamond encrusted, sure. And in which case it always has value.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm like you. If I'm going to spend big money on a watch, it's going to be by a watchmaker, something I know that it will last. It's going to have a statement. It's not going to be, well, here's my iPhone and here's its little brother on my wrist. Ha ha ha.
Well, yeah, and you know.
But that's me.
I could see, like I started it with, they're going to have to do some kind of trade-in program. Look, in a year, I come back to you and give you another, whatever, $500, and you take this one and you give me the latest one. Yeah. They're going to have to do something like that because technology is turning over so quickly that I just can't see spending $5,000 on a watch that's only going to last a year. Tops.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is that I can see people doing this and I give a decent reaction. At work, there is a bottle of, I think it's tequila. I think it's Don Julio 1942.
Okay.
It's about... It's
a good tequila, by the way.
Yeah. It's $98 a shot.
Sure.
That's how much they charge for a shot?
I think so.
It's $98 to buy the bottle at Costco.
Well, okay, it may not be. I said, I think.
No, so it probably is.
No, it's got to be closer to maybe $20
no,
a shot.
Well, no.
There's...
They, even in a regular bar, they want to make back the price of the entire bottle within a few shots. And at an airport bar, you've got a captive audience. There's always a premium on that. I could see it being $60, $70, $80 a shot.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I see it that much. When you consider a standard bottle of, let's say, Patron tequila, it's $45 a bottle, wherever. To get a shot of that,
10, 15?
$5.
No. Not at the airport.
Yes. Maybe not at the airport, but a standard bar is $5.
But we're not talking about a standard bar.
So you figure, okay, but hold on. So you're figuring...
I reject your reality. Substitute my own.
So for $45 at $5 a shot, you're talking about 9 shots repays the bottle. In theory, anything over that you get out of the bottle is pure profit. So at $98 for 9 shots, you're talking about $11 a shot at a bar, standard bar. So if it's $20 or maybe $30 at an airport, that makes sense.
Okay.
Regardless. Back to your point.
Back to the actual point.
Sorry about the tangent, folks. Wait, please.
Crap.
I might have some experience in a bar. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, drinking. Anywho. Go ahead, Wade.
This said, it's like, it may not be Don Julio, but whatever. We have a liquor that is...
Expensive.
Yes, expensive. And people buy it sure. Because, hey, they have the disposable money and the income, and they so they can say they did.
Sure. No, and you've got a really good point there.
It's on the company credit card, and they can do whatever they want.
No, you've got a really good point there, Wade. Even at $5,000, even if you have to replace it every year, there are going to be people that buy it. Not many.
Always.
But there will be some.
Always. You'll always get those people.
Yeah. You always get the people who are like, I did, haha.
Yeah. Yep.
It's that... What was that? That not keeping the Joneses, it's surpassing the Joneses. It's kind of like what I would say.
Yep, flaunting it.
Yeah.
Although I suppose in a year, when you buy the next one, you can always melt down your old watch and sell it for raw gold.
Yeah, and again, we're talking about like gold-plated face or whatever. Maybe the band is 18-karat gold solely, but we're not talking about a lot of gold here. We're talking about bragging rights.
Yeah.
Sure.
Here, let me polish this up and let me reflect the sunlight into your eye because
exactly.
I'm a jerk. No.
Nope. Well, you are a jerk, but it's fine.
Yes, I know.
Brad, I think we're back to you.
You're back to me already?
Back to you.
Are you sure?
Yep, back we're walking back. Out. We're just...
Fine.
Can you run it from here? Because we're up.
Okay. Later, guys. So... How do you guys like your high-speed internet connection? You like it okay?
I like it many much.
You like it many much. What speed is yours, by the way? Any idea?
I think I had an idea once.
Okay, no worries.
30 down, 3 up?
Okay, cool.
Maybe more than that.
So, at the moment...
Why are we playing cards?
No, I think it's 50 down. Maybe it's
50 down. Okay, that's cool. So, at the moment, the FCC... has a definition for high-speed internet. Okay. Broadband is any cable or any internet service that provides more than 4 megabits per second. As our consumption and need for bandwidth has increased, they are now looking at revising that, upping the minimum requirements to call something a high-speed service, and they want to raise the minimum to 25 megabits per second.
So to receive or to be a company to distribute high-speed internet, you must offer a minimum of 25
megabits a second. So
fantastic.
The top cable lobbyists, the National Cable and Telecommunications Association, has filed an objection with the FCC, saying that consumers don't need 25 megabits per second. In fact, they should be happy to get 4 megabits per second, let alone the gigabit that Google Fiber offers. That's just ridiculous. Netflix is lobbying to raise the standards, obviously. They have a vested interest in this. The better your internet is, the better their video is. They are supporting the FCC's proposal to redefine broadband to 25 megabits, based on what it believes is a reasonable throughput for streaming the up-and-coming 4K video content. Not much of their content is 4K right now, but they're increasing slowly. But the NCTA says that most people don't watch high-def content anyway. It's not that big of a deal. They don't need this.
Well, I'm sure the reason why they're trying to not redefine it is to not have to, A, produce it, or have to give away something that they're getting to charge premium fees for.
Sure. And in the final insult to injury for Google out of this, the NCTA said that the push to deliver 1 gigabit per second, which is what Google is trying to do with its fiber, the push to deliver 1 gigabit service was, and I quote, an irrelevant exercise in bragging rights.
I think Google should just come out and say, yes.
Yeah, yes, and we can do it. What's your problem?
We're not even an ISP, and we can do it. What's your problem? You've been doing it for 20 years.
That goes right back to the thing, is that because I can.
Yep. So,
and people will pay for it, too.
Just for grins, I looked up how much this bragging right costs. And if you happen to be in a Google Fiber coverage area, bless you.
Which is the big factor.
Yes, they don't cover much. They're expanding, but they don't cover much right now. But if you are one of those few lucky souls, if you're willing to pay the $300 installation fee, they will give you 5 megabits per second for free. Just
5 megabits
per second. Okay.
Which, so you pay $300 and you don't have to pay for your internet if you're satisfied with 5 megabits a second.
Correct. Now.
For life.
Yeah. Once they've connected you up, they don't care.
That's probably the amount of connectivity you get when they don't turn anything on when you're connected through fiber.
Yeah.
That's just the bleed through.
Yeah, whatever. We're not even going to turn it off.
We can't manage that, so it's free.
Now, if you are prepared to fork over some money, right? Their next tier, they only have the two. You either get the free 5 megabits, or they turn it on and open the fire hose, and you get a 1 gigabit up and down. It's symmetrical.
Ooh.
Okay?
I'm listening.
Yeah. Pocket draining. It's $70.
That's it?
That's it.
You're kidding.
That's what I pay for 50 megabits.
I was going to say, that's like... $10 more than I pay for what we get, yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. That's and we're stuck paying what we're paying while there's people in freaking San Francisco getting gigabit connections.
Yep. So that exercise in bragging rights, it's not like throwing back to our previous story, it's not like the gold Apple Watch where I'm just flaunting it. Yeah, I got money to burn, buddy. No, it's $70. Well, that's pockets change more than what I'm already paying for
light years.
20 times the speed.
Well, and like Wade's statement of, well, people will pay it. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sign me up now. You know, put fiber down the street. I'll do it.
Please.
For $70? Yeah, this isn't like a $500 internet connection that if you were to scale the speed you're paying for now to what the speed you would get with this, you would expect to pay.
Sure.
If you followed a linear path.
Well, if I follow a linear path, quick math here.
You're paying $50 now at 20 times the deal. You're
talking, I would be paying $1,100 a month.
Yeah.
I'll pay $70. No problem.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
So, I can tell Comcast, where you're going to be. Well,
yeah.
What was that, Wade?
Comcast, you're drunk.
Playing a first-person shooter competitively, I can tell where you're going to be before you're going to be there.
My latency like is so low, I know what move you're going to make.
I think it's an AT&T U-verse deal where they got a football player on the couch. He's like, if I could make you six times faster, that'd be good, right? And he shows him zipping through the field.
Yep.
Like, well, with Google Fiber, you hear hike, and I've already scored the touchdown, so...
Yeah, and it's true.
It's like the Flash. You just, okay, done.
So
now what do you want me to do?
Hopefully.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the one thing it's like you never really think about. It's the Flash would just make a killing just playing football. Just the quarterback, just done.
He wouldn't be allowed.
Sacked.
It wouldn't be allowed.
No.
No superpowers allowed on the field.
That's right. He'd spike the ball and deflate it.
Yeah.
He'd hike the ball and the guy would be, the quarterback would be like,
safety. Was that a field goal? I can't. He went through the uprights. I can't. What do we call that?
Anyway.
So I heard, speaking of football and the Super Bowl, actually, this is totally off topic.
Tangent.
I heard for the Pro Bowl that they narrowed the goalposts, the uprights for the field goals by like 3 yards on each side.
Yeah.
And kickers who usually never miss were having a hell of a time hitting the target.
Yes.
And that they're talking about potentially making that a universal standard now.
Trying to make it more difficult.
That's awesome.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's fun to have one of those kickers that never misses. Which we do. but it's kind of gotten to the point where the point after attempt, you just don't even pay attention anymore. You know, especially when you have a kicker as good as ours is, it's like, yeah, of course he's going to make it. There's no challenge. So, it should be interesting.
It seems.
Yeah, but the problem is if they make, if, because I heard it talking about they were trying to make the extra point, just take it off, just make a touchdown equal 7 and move on.
Mm-hmm.
But what about those strategic plays where you want to go for the 2-point conversion? Well, yeah. How do you... Oh, wait, no, we don't want the free point. We'll try to go for two. Is that what you're going to... I mean, because that's kind of what it is now.
Right.
So now they're trying to make the extra point, not a guarantee.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Wade?
I'm just thinking it's like they're going to make it smaller. They're going to... The kickers are going to get used to it.
Yep.
Going to make it smaller. Kickers are going to get used to it. We're going to get to a point where it's like, hit the pole.
Of which some kickers
ring,
have done.
Ring toss.
Yeah. Well, but it's going to make those long kicks, you know, the ones that they're doing from 46 yards out, like even this small adjustment, they were having huge issues with.
Yep.
So, you know, and those long kicks, they're going to be impossible.
Well, yeah. And there's guys that can make, again, we have one of those kickers that can make it from, you know, 52, 53, 54 yards out.
Yeah.
He can kick half the field and make it through the uprights.
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
It's amazing.
It's like watching the soccer games where the goalie does a, you know, a goal kick and it flies, you know, 2/3 down the field.
Yep.
It's like, geez, put him in football. He'll make 3 times the money.
No kidding.
But speaking of, we have a lot of topics we didn't get to tonight, but we are right at that hour mark. And I think we need to owe it to our fans to move on with their life.
I agree.
Thoughts? Fantastic. God, there's so much I wanted to talk about. I didn't get to.
Time I do show notes, God freaking
We did, actually. He had paper with writing on it and everything.
That's awesome.
He came prepared. It was great. So we had a lot of fun this week, obviously tonight, talking about some different topics and going off the wall. Hope maybe it was a little bit different for our listeners, and maybe we'll try to continue this spur of sporadicism in the future.
Spur of sporadicism, that's a show title.
Yeah,
right,
wow.
I just came up with that too. That was awesome. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next week.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.